to Data Transfer episode 52. My name is Audrey.
I'm Corla.
And this, I guess, is just how it is. We just like put one out whenever.
We're like brownies, right? We come in, we leave a little podcast in your shoes, but if you acknowledge us or try to give us anything, we poof for a little while.
We disappear for a little while.
We do not want your cheese.
We simply wish to darn your socks or whatever the fuck brownies do.
I mean, once we get a Patreon going, very much want your cheese, but until then,
yeah, yo cheddar,
you know, brownie mode.
Carla, how are you doing?
My tooth hurts.
Poor tooth.
I have a little chipped tooth. I haven't done anything to deal with it because I've been in the midst of a big old depression spiral. Haven't been taking good care of myself really in general. But I've been playing a lot of Minecraft. And nice. Having actually a very fulfilling time with that. I'm just going to put in here that little, that Bill Wirtz bit of machines and factories to make more machines.
I'll pull that for you. I'll grab that clip for you.
Thank you. I'm doing Greg Tech shit. So if you know, you know. But otherwise, yeah, it's just, we'll put the clip in.
Many different types of machines and factories with machines in them so they can make a lot of products real fast.
How about you, Audrey?
I'm just working and eating and working and sleeping and working and eating and fucking and hanging.
Fucking?
Not actually fucking.
There's no fucking to be done. I was like, that's news. You hiding a little bit of tits under your bed?
You hiding some ass? Really? No. I just was just saying words. Yeah, I'm pretty okay. Almost died.
Oh right.
Since the last time we recorded. I was editing another podcast, Radio Free Topeg, rftb.me, patreon.com/rftb, and I started getting a migraine, and I'm sitting there with my migraine, just watching the little bars fill up on the podcast that I'm editing, watching the little waveforms scroll by, and I get a little pool of light in my vision, and I'm like, oh yeah, fuck. So I take my Tylenol, which is usually enough to slay my migraines, and just keeps going. It just keeps going, folks. And eventually, I would say probably 80% of my vision is occluded by the like light pool from the migraine. Can't barely see nothing. I'm like, okay, that sucks. So I go and I hang up with Corla for the evening because, of course, we're hanging out while I'm doing the edit because I love her. We spend a lot of time together. It's great. I go, yeah, I'm just gonna go take a bath. And try to relax. I was on a real bath kick for a little bit. I was taking candlelit nice baths. But I haven't done that since because what happened was I'm laying there in the bathtub and I'm starting to get real hot and sweaty and gross and not in a fun, I'm in a hot bath kind of way, like in a I'm in bad shape way. And I'm like, oh, I better get out of here. This is no good. And I try to stand up. And the left half of my body is paralyzed. Well, that's probably not great. I don't want that to be the case. So I'm trying to move.
I don't like that at all.
And I feel like everything feels really heavy on my left side. Like I can barely move anything. Like I can maybe wiggle my fingers a little bit, but I have to really think about it. And I shamble into my bedroom and find my phone and start to Googling. And I put in my symptoms and it's like, you are likely having a stroke. I'm like, oh, that's tight. That's fresh. That's a new experience for me. So let's call the 911 and see if they can't keep me from having my brain kill me. They show up. I only managed to put half a bathrobe on, and I'm kind of like holding the left side of it closed with my right arm. And they're like giving me all these instructions, telling me where to go, what to do. And I can barely do any of it because I'm, you know, paralyzed on the left side of my body. It's nuts. They put me in the ambulance. We telehealth to a nurse at like an ER on the way. And they're like, yeah, she's probably having a stroke. Fire up a clot buster, which is a really kind of dangerous medication. It's got a 3% chance of just killing you outright, like on the spot.
Okay.
But they go, hey, so you're having a stroke. If you are having a stroke, and we shoot you up with this, it'll go to your brain, it'll blow the clot up, and you'll live, and everything will be fine. And it'll be like, it'll be basically like nothing happened. I'm like, say word. And they're like, but it could kill you or give you a brain bleed. Like one of those two things can happen too. And at the time, I'm like, oh, life's in your hands. Yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah. Give me. Hurry. Hurry up. Put it in my body. So they hit me with that and they say, okay, well, we're gonna have to hold you for 48 hours now because
you have a clot buster in you.
Because you have a clot buster in your body. I'm like, oh, okay. So my weekend shot. This was a Saturday night that this happened. And so I spent the next 2 days in the hospital, numerous CT scans, MRIs, all that shit. I'm perfectly fine. There is actually no evidence of stroke. And so they were like, yeah, you know, you said you had had a migraine leading up to that. And, you know, sometimes we've seen migraines get bad enough that they mimic stroke symptoms. So that's probably what was going on. And I'm like, cool. And there'll be like, and they're like, well, that'll be, you know, an insane amount of money. But the thing is, I've gotten little bills in my texts because they have all my information. So they text me little text alerts like, you have a bill, right? I got one. I clicked on it. It was like, that'll be $256. And I go, well, I mean, that's bad. Like, I don't love that. Like, that's
also
money
a power of two.
That's money that I would rather have for other things, but that's not so bad. And then I, you know, hadn't paid it yet because, fun fact, folks, it doesn't count on your credit score to not pay medical bills until they send it to collections. So talk to your, you know, care providers and see if you can get on a payment plan with them before they send it to collections, because then it affects your credit. Mm-hmm. That's Audrey's poor people financial corner.
Also, if your credit's in the shitter anyway, just learn to start blocking numbers. Because yeah, they'll sell the debt off to people that will harass the shit out of you, but then beyond harassment, there's not much else they can do about it.
There's no such thing as debtor's prison anymore.
Yeah. Well,
what do you mean, well?
Well, in localized situations in the U.S., there are effectively debtor's prisons. There's like kaiji situations happening.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
I mean, in the sense of like particularly with migrant labor forces, like,
oh yeah, no, yeah,
you just get effectively company towned.
Yeah, they're subject to insane conditions, and it's pure evil what people are willing to profit off of. But anyway, the next time I clicked on a little text alert from the thing, it said you have a $0 balance. I don't know how that happened, but somebody must have paid it or something. I don't know.
Someone paid it, or they were like, ah, dang it, she noticed.
But yeah, so the whole thing was just kind of like a weird blip on my radar. Pretty and I'm happy to spooky. Be here. I'm happy to be here recording a podcast for y'all today.
Yay!
About Digimon, about episode 52. Or you said you had something to say.
Well, yeah, you had. Okay, first of all, you had like a 4-minute intro, and I said, I'm okay, my tooth hurts.
And then you threw to me, and then I told my big thing, and then I was going to move on to the show, but go ahead.
I want to give more. A little more me, just some parody. I had a brief period of my life, something like a month and a half, where my legs would just go out on me for a little bit, like, control-wise. I could mostly feel them, but, like, I would just lose everything from, like, pretty much the bottom of my spine down, and, like... It was spooky as shit, but it, like, having not that long before then, like, gone to a psych ward, I didn't want to go to a hospital. I didn't want them to go, you did this to yourself, go to jail. Go to fucking brain jail. So I didn't seek treatment. I just, like, didn't let anybody know until it happened as I was heading out the door with my family. And they were understandably a little freaked out. Yeah. Long story short, like, it just stopped happening after a while. Like, I had it more after that and never again. The doctor was like, you got to switch up your posture. like, we haven't done enough tests to know for sure what's going on, but, like, the best we can tell is you, like, compress some shit at the bottom of your spine. You gotta sit less shitty.
You had
I'm like, that's true. I do sit, like, fucking, I'll just, like, rotate upside down in the chair for no reason. I have extreme bisexual sitting.
I was about to be like, your posture was so bad you lost control of your legs in various periods of time.
That's what I said, is like, all right, bud, okay. I'll change my posture, but I'm not sure that was the problem. I legitimately can't tell you. This is a spooky time, though. I'm just like, oh, I guess I'm just disabled in a weird, inconsistent way now.
Damn. That blows.
Yeah. Oh, there is one last thing before the show. And that's that we've been doing some stuff together. We have been fucking hardlining on magic shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, been I've great. Been building decks like crazy, particularly around one new character. Or not new character. She's
right.
Pre-existing, but she has a new card. Obeka, Splitter of Seconds. I just immediately latched onto this card as so interesting and cool to build around. And then immediately found out that she's busted as fuck.
Yeah, she's extremely powerful. Because the whole idea of an... So the thing... Okay, let's get in the weeds here. Imagine gathering... There's a phase called upkeep. In the upkeep phase, it used to be that you would pay for something called cumulative upkeep for like some of the real early cards, which would be a cost that you would have to pay that would increase over time in order to keep a permanent, like a creature or an enchantment, in play. Because they were so powerful. They were a 3-3 for 3! What do you mean? Like, you're gonna get a 3-3 for 3? You're gonna have to pay every turn to keep that alive. In old magic, anyway.
And pay increasing amounts with cumulative upkeep.
Yes. So, the upkeep phase, they were also like, well, you know, maybe something cool could happen in your upkeep phase because of something that you have. It's just like a good time of the turn to check in on all your permanents and see what they need to do for the turn. And then we'll move on to the main phase, right? Obeka, if she hits you, lets you get extra upkeeps. Now, the whole point of an upkeep ability is that you, like most of the cards that have these, you put them into the battlefield, and then they do fuck all when they first come in. They don't typically have ETBs. They just sit there and do the thing that they do every turn, but not this turn, just next turn, and then every turn after it until you destroy it.
Right. It's a consistent, slow trigger. Obeka takes that and says, what if that's a double ETB and also goes off 3 times every turn from here on?
Yeah. What if this happens repeatedly? A lot.
So what if this thing that was balanced for happening once a turn ever just happens 5 times?
This just happens 5 times. 6 times. 7 times. Because based on the amount of damage she does. So you just build...
Because there's like shit that makes Obeka bigger with every upkeep.
Yeah. Yeah, you just build so like a Voltron. Yeah, she snowballs really well. You'll look up, you'll be at 19 commander damage and be like, oh, I'm going to die.
I've legitimately tried building janky bullshit decks and continued to wipe the board with them. Like,
yeah,
it's so hard to make her not busted as fuck just by way of how she works.
You know what? I just play an initiative deck. You know, it's not that bad. You know, you complete the Undercity, but that... You know, that takes some time. And that...
Oh, I'm completing the Undercity twice a turn.
Oh, twice a turn. Okay. I'm going to take a 10-minute turn that wipes out half the players in the game.
Right. Every time I finish it, also, I get one of your creatures.
Yeah.
And it's just I love her so much. I'm so gay for my blue ogre chrono punch lady. She can punch you into next Tuesday.
She will do it, too. I liked her previous one that was like, the turn is over now.
She can punch you back to the most embarrassing moment of your life. Punch you in the dick and you're back at like homecoming or whatever. You just got punched all over yourself and your date is laughing at you.
Corla.
Yeah?
I'm going to defeat you by building original Obeka.
Oh, that would be fun.
And it will get to your combat phase. And I will go, the turn is now over. And you will go...
Wait, no, that's voluntary.
Oh, no, that's right. You tap it and the player may end the turn. Okay, yep. So that doesn't really work.
Now, hear me out. Obeka and Obeka in Two-Headed Giant.
Yeah, so like we were even talking about me doing like a defensive posture and like enabling your deck by disrupting the opponent's deck. That could work, because it gets to our turn and they're like, okay, I'm gonna kill Obeka, and I go, the turn is now over.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill tap and I go, oh, turn's over. Sorry.
And I go, Brute Chronomancer is no, the turn is now over.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
That could be fun. Let's do it. Obeka twins.
Obeka Akabo. All right, now let's do Digimon.
Now let's do the Digimon show. It's kind of like a general nerd program now, isn't it? We're talking about Minecraft, we're talking about Balatro, we're talking about Magic.
Talking about Minecraft in the sense that I mentioned I'm playing it, I could go into detail, but you don't said want the
name
me to
of, you said the name of a mod. That's a no little one bit wants of detail. Okay. Let's do episode synopsis. This episode is entitled Piedmon's Last Jest, or the Japanese version, The Holy Swordsman, Holy Angemon.
Oh my god. First of all, Magna Angemon. Holy Angemon is dumb. That's just...
Yeah, it's already an angel.
It's already an angel.
It's like saying demon devil.
Right.
Evil guy, yeah.
Yeah, it's like saying darkness devil. You're like, okay. Yeah,
that's kind of their thing.
Wasn't it already? Okay, whatever.
I got really distracted. There was an ad on Fandom for something to do with Evangelion.
Oh no!
I was just watching a brief clip of.
Did you see that Evangelion mobile battle royale game?
The what?
The Evangelion mobile battle royale game. I think it's Japan only, but. Were you interested?
Do you have to? Do you play an Ava?
I don't know. I think you play like a human level operative.
Okay.
And like, I don't know.
So it's like that one
I saw an ad.
Metal Gear Solid ripoff that's set in the Front Mission universe for some reason. Like, it has nothing to do with the shit that goes on in the actual thing.
Like, I legit want more games. Bonzers. Where the thing, like, the world works on, like, an armored core scale, but you yourself are, like, a human-sized saboteur breaking into shit.
Then you might actually enjoy this game. I will see if I can find the title of it for you. I cannot recall it right now because it's the most generic fucking title of all time. But you do. You're on a battlefield. You're deployed onto a battlefield with Mecha, and you are but a human spy. And have to like go and extract data and shit.
Yeah, Titanfall 2 does that.
Yeah,
beautifully.
Dude. Titanfall 2,
we got to get in that multiplayer again sometime.
There's definitely still multiplayer servers.
Oh yeah, no, it actually had like a revival recently.
Yeah, because every time they release it for free on something, a new wave of players is like, you know, I never played that.
You're a good thing. And a bunch of people go, "Ooh, new people to stomp,
new people to fucking." That's the problem, is you just get shit. You get your shit kicked in.
Yeah, you're like, I'm shooting these NPCs. I'm gonna get my robot and get my robot. Meanwhile, someone else is just like capoeiraing their way at you rapidly,
and you can't see it. Like they're doing.
You can't see it coming. They're like around a building, and they're just gonna fucking whoop around the corner with a zip line and kick you directly in your sternum.
And they just pistol whip you in the back of the skull, and you die.
Yeah. Yeah, or they're just bunny hopping across the map and they smart pistol you incidentally. One of the two.
Just when it seems that they have the upper hand, Piedmon begins turning the kids and their Digimon into keychains, leaving TK, Kari, and Patamon as electric.
It's so good.
I read the little blurb at the top. No, you've never understood this. Not one time. There's a blurb at the top that describes the episode overall. And I like to read that and then read the more detailed synopsis.
You could simply start with the I don't know. You don't get on to me for being confused. If it's something that's understandable to be confused about.
Okay.
Right.
So here's where it says synopsis. Do you want me to start there?
No. I just want to pout now.
Hey, Metal Garurumon returns, and fighting alongside War Greymon, they take on Piedmon. You can do it.
I don't know, but I really like this energy.
After some tricky attacks from the Hell Clown, capitalized, both Mega Digimon seem to have the upper hand in the fight. Just as everyone else is about to digivolve, Piedmon pulls out a white cloth, and the confused Digidestined don't know what to think of it.
Okay.
They're instantly like, is he surrendering?
Is he going to jizz in that?
Don't throw your cum
rags at people. That's weird.
It's really weird, dude.
Okay, so this thing's going really fast, but there's actually a lot of stuff that's worth talking about here.
Hit me.
First of all, I'm picking up the real swords on my sensors. Immortal line. We'll never get over that. I just unplugged my thing on accident. It's fine. Paimon throws out like a bunch of illusion swords, but also a couple of real ones. And so Metal Garurumon's just like, I'm picking up the real swords on my sensor. And I'm
it's
just
like, if he has that
enchant
capability,
a real sword? Ah. Not sure about that one.
Dog, why, if you were just gonna give Wargreymon the ability to do that, why do the illusion?
I think it's a dub thing.
Possibly.
I think the dub is just
they probably said something really hypersexual about the thrill of battle or something, and they had to put some dialogue in for the Digimon because
he's throwing his penis swords at us.
Or Wargreymon's like, I'm so fucking hard for this. And Metal Garurumon's like, yeah, my knot is coming out. And
they fucking are pussies.
Yeah. Gross. We're gross. He quickly throws the claw, which grows into a huge sheath that covers the Mega Digimon.
Sorry, you said sheath. After not.
Did I say sheath?
You said sheath, didn't you?
I said huge sheet.
No, you said sheath.
Oh no. I had a stroke, okay?
Yeah.
You gotta give
me
some slack. Ty and Matt are covered with a sheath and they run up to their partners.
It's funny, see?
No, I did it on purpose that day. But Piedmon then removes the sheets to show that they have seemingly disappeared.
I wrote, no, he's doing a magic trick. No! No, you fell for his stand. They turned into hankies.
And then he does hanky code with them.
No!
The digi-gay bar.
Yeah, it turns out he's like one of them fucking keychain collector weirdos. He's just like, I'm gonna keep them in mint condition.
No, he's got them hanging on him. They're in use. He's not gonna keep them in mint condition. They're not in a box somewhere.
Well, he's gonna laminate them when he's done. He has to kill or capture the rest first,
and then he gets to turn into keychain.
Yeah, then he gets to dangle them from his wall like a trophy.
The only way the group is able to escape is by using trapezes placed over a large. Oh no, I skipped a whole fucking bunch of this. God damn it! He then reveals that they have been turned into keychain figures. The other children try to run away while Andromon holds them off. He too gets turned into a figurine. That fight with Andromon and Piedmon, pretty fucking sick.
Pretty sick. He holds his own. He holds his own.
Play.
He gets a hit in, a good one.
Like the missiles. He uses the missiles from his chest and actually manages to nail him. And it, seems to stun him for a little bit, and the kids are able to get away.
Yeah, he uses the Opie missile. Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool.
There's a thing for it. You'll see. You'll hear it in the edit.
So Andromon holds him off, but he too gets turned to figure. The only way the group is able to escape is by using trapezes placed over a large chasm.
It's so funny. He has the fucking chasm over hell from the house that Jack built, but he's got a trapeze set up over top of it.
That's how he gets in and out.
Have you seen the house that Jack built?
I've not.
I'm sorry. That joke will land for two people. It'll land real good.
Let's see. As they attempt the trapeze, which is a pretty cool sequence, because Tentomon flies across and he's like, you're going to have to use the trapeze! Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Gatomon grabs, goes to Kari and says, grab on, I'll take you across. Gatomon just, does her Gatomon shit and fucking flippy flip flip. She's over on the other side.
She's an acro cat.
Yeah. She jumps back onto the trapeze to grab TK comes across, manages to jump up to the trapeze and swing across and takes forever. Sora makes it as well. Beamon flies over, or does Beamon get captured at this point?
No, Beamon gets to become Garudamon briefly before capture.
Yes, no, you're totally right. I think my favorite part of this is they have to throw Gomamon because there's no way he could jump up to the trapeze.
It's so cute. He's and it's a good little, thing too, because he ends up being the fucking goat.
Oh yeah, it's once like, again! Once again!
I hate to keep pulling this up, but it's just like the movie Cube, where like the reason anyone makes it through at all is because like they intentionally kept around the disabled person.
Sure.
Is like they refused to let the cop devalue his life.
Yeah. That rip.
Yeah. Yeah. In this case, it's not really a disability so much as being a little flipper friend, but still.
So everybody but Joe, Izzy, and Tentomon make it, leaving Joe, Izzy, and Tentomon captured.
Yeah. He starts mocking them. He takes these. Yeah, like, I'm Izzy. I'm so smart. Me, 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 me.
But I can't save my friend.
Yeah.
My friends got turned into a keychain because I'm a little bitch made pussy bitch.
While the rest hide terrified, Piedmon stalks them in a sadistic game of hide and seek. When Piedmon attacks, Garudamon and Anjouamon hold him off to give the others time, but are captured, transfigured into figurines. I would not have used the word transfigured into figurines.
Transfigurined.
I might even just say transfigured and drop the figurines.
Yeah. Yeah. Transformed into a figure. Yeah. No. Yeah. Transfigured. There you go.
Yeah.
You go. Also, can I just say, genuinely quite menacing, like, you figure out the reason why he's been so chill this whole time is because he's like, I could just turn them at any moment.
Yeah.
I don't just even got know.
Like, I've got this. It's easy.
Yeah.
So I am once again impressed by the scale of Garudamon. She is fucking huge.
Uh-huh.
She like, she digivolves in this, like, I don't know, like how the fucking roof works in this area. Like, I don't know. Because they're, like, hiding under the floor, the kids are. Garudamon digivolves, like, on the floor above and tries to smash through the floor and smush Paimon, but misses.
Yeah, weird. I didn't have any understanding of the arc. Because previously they were just in a big open chasm, like, of the fucking Midir fight.
Yeah, chasm. and then suddenly... They're like and inside.
There's architecture, and I don't understand it.
There's architecture inside. Really cool architecture too. I wanted to point out that the Piedmon sort of sanctum his great architecture. Just looks great.
Yeah, it's got good taste for a pedo clown.
Pedo clown.
Children turned into keychains that he's toying with.
Yeah, that's he's weird. Definitely don't not going to do anything weird with those. But yeah, Anjouamon fights my can't beat him, of course.
Oh, and Piedmon is stabbing through the floor trying to just impale the kids.
Yeah, trying to Jack Torrance the floor. Once finding temporary safety, Sora charges TK to take Kari and run. TK, Kari, and Patamon and Gomamon start to flee the area, however. Gomon decides to stay with Sora and help fight back. She's like, dog, you're a rookie right now. You can't even digivolve. Joe's a figurine on Piedmon's belt. Like, you can't, nothing you can do. He's like, I don't give a shit. I'm the goat. I'm going to do it. So Piedmon bursts into the passageway from the floor as he brags that they will all become part of his collection. Gomamon jumps over and snatches the figurine of Matt and throws it to Sora.
Yeah. The moment
that, like, fucking really impressed me. I was very happy with Gomon in that case. Once again, the goat.
Yeah. So
he really is the
cool
Piccolo to this series. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, in Dragon Ball Z, I always used to say that without Piccolo being the best stepdad of all time, Gohan does not defeat Cell and the world is destroyed.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, best dad of all time. It starts out pretty rough. He does just toss him into a forest for 5 years.
Yeah, Piccolo's a bastard. And that's one of the reasons I love him so much. He was my deck that I had in the Dragon Ball Z TCG, which of course I played.
Yeah. I thought you were about to tell me there was a Dragon Ball Secret layer, and I was like, fucking excuse you?
That would rock.
That would kick
so
much.
They should just fucking do it.
Zatch Bell Secret Lair when?
They should just do that shit.
Konosuba Secret Lair. Hang on. No, I can think of Madoka Magica Secret Lair.
Did they do... I want to say they did a Jurassic Park one, or they're going to.
Xenosaga Secret Lair. I want to have an Urdekaiser, like, red, green, black commander. That sounds
awesome.
Here's
a dumb one. Carnage Heart Secret Lair. The little programming, like, mecha game.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Omega Tank Secret Lair.
Battle Tank 64 Secret Lair when?
Rampage for the SNES Secret Lair.
Oh my god, if they did NES and SNES ones, that would be cool. Just like you know, 8-bit and 16-bit.
Illusion
art.
Of Gaia Secret Lair?
Oh yeah. Why fucking not?
Echo the Dolphin limit. Secret Lair. This is really
Balatro
good content.
Secret, Balatro Secret Lair. There's just like
a Secret Lair. You just have the fucking Egg Joker.
It's just like it's a 52 card deck, and that's your deck.
52 okay. Card singleton.
Okay. Yeah, it is singleton until you know get cop.
Oh, what if it has like Slimes Against Humanity rules where you can have four of each one?
Ooh. As the rest of the group has fallen prey to Paimon's demonic abilities, the only ones left are TK, Kari, and Patamon. While the two remaining kids try to escape up a rope, which, totally unexplained rope.
Oh yeah, they open up like a fucking like snake charmer's basket and a rope starts like falling
snaking
up.
Into the sky. Yeah.
As if which it's
they, okay,
backwards.
So they run out, like, they escape that situation, like, Patamon throws, no. Gomamon throws the keychain to Sora, who throws it to TK, and then they run out of a door onto like a balcony overlooking the fucking void below. Like they're up on this like huge plateau, and there's like just, you know, death beneath them. Fucking based on the amount of time that TK falls later, mm-hmm. That's really fucking high up there.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the rope. I also want to point out, it might be a reference to a parable, the spider's thread, or the spider's thread rope, where like there's someone in limbo or hell or whatever, like a thief, and Buddha sees him and is like, I'm gonna see if I can let this guy in. He has a spider, like, weave a single thread of silk down into hell for him to climb up on. And he starts climbing up it, but other people see the thread and start trying to grab on, right?
Yeah.
And he kicks them to get them off of the thread, and in so doing, snaps the thread, thus losing his own chance at salvation. So it's like
a
fable about avoiding crabs in a bucket mentality.
Yeah. That fucking rips.
Yeah. It could also just be a snake charmer's basket and a funny clown. Who knows?
While the two remaining kids try to escape up a rope, the spider silk rope, Paimon catches up to them, and Patamon digivolves to Angemon to try to fight him off. Pretty cool little fight here, like, you know, sword versus staff. And at one point, Angemon just like jabs him in the forehead,
knocking
the fuck out for a
second.
Gets
him with the end of the stick right in the head.
Yeah,
just fucking. Yeah, crack his skull like right at the eyebrow. Also, I forgot something with the rope thing that's very important. The thing that we both said immediately upon that basket opening, which was, look, Gordon, ropes! We can use these to get across.
Help me,
Gordon!
Me, Gordon! Oh, that's fucking funny. Brief tangent about staff fighting. I worked at two different Renaissance festivals at various points in my life. This was at the Ravenhurst Renaissance Festival in Lexington, Kentucky. And they had a group come in to do their... Because, you know, Renaissance Festival, you have to have some stage combat there that day. Because that's one of the draws. You want to go to a Renaissance Festival, you want to get a turkey leg, you want to drink outside, you want to look at little flea market tchotchkes, and then you want to watch somebody swing a sword at somebody else's head.
Yeah.
This stage combat group did not choreograph anything. They just went out there and kind of did it. And they had fucking real steel. They had like,
oh, live
steel. And they would just go out there and hack at each other.
Fuck.
They had a rule where you got to go slow. You know what I mean? They were like, while you're out there, you're not really trying to hurt each other, of course. You're just trying to, you know, make something that looks a little cool and like you can kind of get with your partner beforehand and sort of figure on what you want to do, but no real, they just had some wackos out there with weapons swinging them at each other.
Insane. I did learn a technique specifically for selling fights with toy weapons.
That's fun.
Back in Amp Guard. It's literally just about miming as if it's like three times its weight.
Yes, 100%.
Just like, that shit is heavier than it feels like, right?
Yeah.
You gotta pretend like you have some heft behind what you're doing. Because then your enemy has something telegraphed that they can, like, react to, you know?
They can react to it, and they can take the hit and also act as if your weapon is 10 times heavier than it is, and then...
It's about simultaneously sending signals to your opponent about how to react to continue the fight, and to the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. My story was not finished, because...
Sorry.
There was a staff versus staff fight. These two little girls go out there with big fuck off, like heavy dowels, basically.
Oh, no.
And the one girl just bops the other one on the top of the head.
Oh, no.
In the middle of it. I guess she expected her to do the whole, you take both your arms, you put them up and you block the staff. It's like, ah, it's like a cool moment, right? Little girl didn't read that. And she just gets dunked. And it wasn't like the corner of it, so she didn't bleed at all, you know, like it was just like,
okay, it was flat, spread of, out,
flat of the staff, thunk on the top of her
steel
head,
steel blunt impact on the head.
No, it was dowel, it was wood.
Okay.
And I'll never forget it. There's this moment where the crowd goes, oh, and then she just like drops her arms and then drops the staff and goes, just they take her back to the tent, and they, you know, they sit her down and get her some water and everything, and then eventually she gives a thumbs up and the crowd cheers, and, you know,
that's funny.
Pretty funny. That's what you get when you have a $5 Renaissance Festival, when the budget for the whole thing is $5. You get a collection of yahoos with fucking live steel swinging at each other.
Yeah, you end up with the Welsh Willy Wonka event.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that Renaissance Festival really was Willy's chocolate event. It truly
the
was.
The unknown. Sorry. It's so fucking... I love that story so much. All right.
Okay, so they fight Angemon and Piedmon, and they say that Angemon is easily defeated. I would kind of disagree. He got some hits in, you know.
Yeah.
And then Piedmon cuts the rope with a sword, like throws a sword up and over, and it cuts the top of the rope off. And so they
and
get
the
to
top
the
of the rope starts to fall upward without them. The part that they're on is still like dangling up properly.
Isn't that crazy? It's so weird.
Yeah, I love it. It's actually like really neat.
Yeah.
Attention to detail.
So when Piedmon attempts to take TK, Kari grabs onto him, and despite TK imploring her to let him go for her own safety, Kari refuses. So Piedmon cuts the rope further, causing TK and Kari to fall. And they fall for a very fucking long time.
Yeah, TK is like looking at his little keychain brother like, what the fuck do I do? I am literally dying right now.
Yeah, as they fall, TK clutches the keychain form of Matt. And after hearing the encouraging words of his older brother, which... It really struck me, and I knew this for a long time, but I just realized it watching this episode here. Matt has a very Master Shake face. Their eyes are... Something about their eyes read very similar to me, and just the way he, like, Shake has, like, a thin line mouth and, like, no nose, kind of like how Matt doesn't really have much of a nose. He just, like... He kind of like he fades in from like a transparency, and I'm like, is that Master Shake? No.
So he grows up and has a soul patch. He's gonna be a dead ringer, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're thinking of Frylock. Frylock has the beard.
Oh yes, sorry, Master. No, you're right. I was picturing, I'm like, that doesn't look...
That doesn't look like Matt at all. I don't know. It just, that hit me weird this time. I'll never be able to look at Matt's face without thinking about Master Shake again.
Oh, no. Master Shake.
Master Shake. But, you know, so TK is reminded that hope remains, right? Because he got the Crest of Hope. And his crest then finally begins to glow, and Angemon, it says here, finally, I'm really happy we got another mega here, finally digivolves into Magna Angemon, who catches the two falling kids to the tune of Hey Digimon, the ska anthem.
He's not a mega. That's an ultimate.
What? Fuck!
Magna Angemon's an ultimate level.
He's a really powerful ultimate, damn.
Yeah, Seraphimon is the mega.
Okay. Did we ever see Seraphimon?
Season 2 or 3.
I just think if you're gonna present 4 levels for Digimon, right?
No, Phantomon is the combat test.
Then you have to, I want to see Mega Kabuterimon Mega. Anyway, so he digivolves into an ultimate, frustratingly, the final ultimate that we see from our team, who catches the two fallen kids, places them safely on the ground. He flies up to deal with Piedmon, who throws a sheet at Magna Angemon, and he just slices it in two with a Cypher Pata.
Really, I'm not hungry.
Eat this.
He's like, I'm not hungry.
And so he delivers a single slash to Piedmon using his Excalibur sword. It's Excalibur is the sword that he has.
The Excalibur.
Angemon, or Magna Angemon, recovers the keychains and sends Piedmon hurtling away, seemingly to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we see later in the snap, because Magna Angemon then returns every keychain, he returns every keychain into the Digimon and humans they once were. Nope.
Eh. Nope, you missed. No, that made sense. It's just awkward.
Yeah. Using his Magna Antidote ability, which if you have that powerful of a panacea ability on a character who's that combat capable, that's really good versatility.
Yeah, that kind of explains why the Patamon forms are like one and done.
Yeah, because they're like nuts.
Yeah. They're the ace in the hole.
Yeah. So he returns him with the ability, and then they think it's all over. Until Piedmon resurfaces with hundreds of Vilemon soldiers.
You want to describe Vilemon?
Imp.
Yeah, they're like if the little winged monkey minions from The Wizard of Oz were like horrible imps also.
Yeah, were not blue, but had like demon heads.
Yeah, they had Ogremon's face.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do have Ogremon's face. And speaking of my good friend, Ogremon. Just then, Mimi and Lilymon arrive with an army composed of Digimon the kids had earlier befriended.
Ah!
It's dope. Unimon's there. Frigimon and Marimon are there.
Ogremon's there. Unimon, not E-U-N-U Unimon.
Unicmon?
It's just a Digimon with no nuts. Just a sausage.
Orkimon.
Sausage Digimon.
Amazing. So there is a
wiener dog.
There is a wiener dog Digimon. That's true. So they arrive with that army of Digimon that I mentioned. Gomon and Tentomon digivolve to their ultimate forms, and alongside their allies fight back against the Vilemon. And after they've been softened up, Magna Angemon opens his gate of destiny to suck in the Vilemon horde, at which point Wargreymon and Melgarumon corner Piedmon and blast him into the void as well, defeating him for the good.
That sure does go by real fast, but he definitely does open up a gate to heaven or some kind of like elemental plane of law,
mm-hmm.
and just like sucks all the demons in through it. And I'm like, what's on the other side of that?
It's almost like static.
Is it
on the other
side? Is it somewhere? Or they just get deleted.
Yeah, like in that DefuckBoom beatbox compilation when he just starts snapping people out of existence.
Oh, like yes. That. Or the, have you seen the, like, oh, fuck, how do I even explain this? Have you seen the meme videos where it's just, like, a dude with the Aku Aku mask from Crash Bandicoot, mm-hmm. like, trying to go about his life, and people just keep giving him shit about, like, trying to order a sandwich or whatever, and then he just, like, sends them to another dimension, but it's actually just a different Photoshop layer. And he goes,
okay, what the fuck are you talking about?
When Lilith or Frisk listens to this, they're going to be like, oh, I know the one. That's so funny. Oh, no one else will, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, we make this for our little group of friends, basically.
Yeah. I made a joke for two people in the whole world earlier.
Good. Nice work. Let's narrow the band that we're going to hit with this show even more by talking about magic and Aku Aku mask Photoshop layer magic.
And Digimon porn. I think I'm doing a really good job, actually.
Yeah, we got a pretty narrow band here. As Light begins... defeating him for good, causing the last remnant of Spiral Mountain to disappear. Reinforcements Mimi brought along return home. And as Light begins to return to the world, Izzy gets a message from Jedi, a fucking email, telling him that the Dark Masters were never the real enemy.
You couldn't have said that from the fucking start.
Well, I mean, they did have to get dealt with, right? Because they were fucking shit up all over the place.
That's true. I guess he is kind of like a one step at a time kind of manager. Yeah. But he did definitely just send a, hey, by the way, the apocalypse is happening by email.
Yeah. I'm proud to report that Izzy still has Pafu Pafu on his desktop. The real enemy is the one who created the Dark Master.
The one whose very presence generated them.
Yeah. And just then the ground shakes, the sky grows dark, and the Digidestined soon realize that the fight isn't over.
The ground master shakes.
Yeah. Because there's like this spire somewhere. I don't even know where it was in relation to them. These like giant beams of like red black light shoot out of this tower, and then everything begins to shake, and the voiceover says, next time on Digimon Digital Monsters.
Yeah, what are they gonna do with the Chrono Cross Dragon Tower?
So yeah, there it is, baby. Oh, that's episode 52.
It was actually a really good one.
Yeah, it was great.
Also, the Find Out Last Time guy is so fucking chill on that read. I'm like, dude, lay off the Valium before you get in the fucking recording booth. Jesus. He's just like, find out next time. I'm quagging.
Find out next time or whatever. I'm gonna go lay
down. You want one of these?
So, what do we do now? We vote. We vote. No,
we vote.
Get out there, vote,
motherfucker.
We rate this episode on a scale of rookie to mega. Would you please rate this episode, Corla?
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. I think I have to give it an ultimate. We get a lot of new stuff that's interesting. We get some very compelling fights. And we get the end of an era. But there's some stuff that just feels really rushed to me. The keychain thing, right? That's some tension that could last you a couple of episodes. But it's one and done. It's not even a third of this episode.
Yeah. I wonder if he learned how to do that from Puppetmon. You know what I mean? Like, adapted the magic that Puppetmon used.
Oh, yeah.
To create the little dolls.
Yeah, I don't follow. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? Like, he learned the technique of turning, of like empowering toys with the essence of somebody else, and then adapted that ability into the keychain thing.
Oh, yeah. So you get the keychains of people, and then you hand them to Puppetmon to control so that he can use them and by extension their Digimon.
I bet they had a great time with that back in the day.
Yeah, I bet in the years that they had in the digital world before the kids came back, they were having a grand old time just genociding the earth, the fucking digital earth,
running around doing ops, just taking out everybody, having a great time. I want to see the prequel series to the Dark Masters.
I was gonna say, that's the thing, is conquering the world sounds fun. Having conquered the world sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Ask the Taliban about that shit. Because they took over Afghanistan again, and there's all kinds of articles coming out where dudes are like, man, this used to be about the jihad. Now I'm a fucking regional manager for a fucking, this sucks. <I know. laughs> Like, literally, no, this is like a true story.
Uh-huh.
And some of them, have you seen the fucking Taliban soldiers on rollerblades?
No, I have not.
It fucking rips. There is a unit of Taliban soldiers in Afghanistan that patrol on rollerblades because they're fucking bored.
I'm picturing the Family Guy rollerblade dance.
Yeah. But it's these Taliban dudes. Yeah, for real. Look it up, listener. There's pictures of dudes like rolling down the street with fucking ARs.
Sipping on rollerblades. Laid back.
Laid back. Well, they don't sip gin and juice because they're Muslim.
They're Muslim and also on duty.
And they're at work, yeah.
But yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me because conquest on like a group scale is a great motivator.
Maintenance, we're gonna go kick the
awful
ass.
Awful motivator. We do fuck all for infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, now I'm a civil engineer. I was a sapper before, and now I'm a fucking civil engineer.
I betrayed my whole deal. It was cool. Now I have to keep shit from breaking?
Wait, just because I knew how to break shit means I know how to keep shit good? No.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Hire the bomb guy for bomb defusal. I made them because it made me come. I don't want to stop them from exploding.
I want them to be blown.
Your job is my new job is blue balls. You might as well just write blue balls as my job description.
I put it on my resume.
Fucking asshole. I like these characters we've invented.
They're great. The bored Taliban guys are good characters. All right. I'm going to give it a mega, actually, because... I don't know. The fights are so good, and Magna Angemon showing up, and the fucking Vilemon are cool, and Ogremon fighting effectively. I mean, against rookies, but like fighting effectively, like getting kills, racking up some fucking points on the board. I love to see that.
Yeah, there's just a sense of rushness to it, I guess, is ultimately what I feel.
Hmm. Okay.
There's so much cool shit, and it just like goes by. Poof.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a greater number of cool shit per episode.
Fair enough. One.
But like, yeah, no, I agree. They could have made more of a meal of the keychains. They could have, done more. Like, maybe if the kids had been split into two different groups and some of them had been captured, and so then you have like two groups hiding.
Yeah,
in different parts of the castle.
Each of them dwindling. Oh,
yeah, seeing more of the castle would have been really fucking cool too. Because like every one of those rooms was dope.
Yeah, just extending the chase a little bit where people are getting picked off one by one, right?
Yeah.
Turn it into a little bit of a slasher movie thing.
Yeah. I think I'm still going to go mega, but I agree with your criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything has room to improve, even if it's a mega.
Yeah, even if it's my core, honey.
I got room to improve. I got more fat I got to put on me.
Hey, Shannon. All right, I'm going to hit this little button here.
Pussy 2.
Pussy 2.
The sequel to Pussy.
The sequel to Poussoir. Oh, we're going to start with Vilemon. We'll have you describe it.
Okay. This is cool. This is pretty cool. A lovingly rendered, just a pretty simple, but there's shadow, you know, like,
hate his diagonal eyelids. They suck so bad.
Just a well done drawing of
they look like eye foreskin.
It kind of looks like she's in the bath, but it's not. It's just that she has like she's like Venus de Milo at the knees and elbows.
It's part of a larger image. I didn't feel like showing the larger one because it's a little extreme.
Okay, sure thing.
But essentially, she is one of several women who are like stuck in a thing.
Oh, fun! Great. But it's Lady Devimon, and she's got her cool helmet and her like red eyes, and she's got her mouth wide open. She's sweating, and wrapped around her butt and waist,
Mounted
by something much smaller than her, which happens to be a Vilemon.
Yeah. Think of like a small dog humping your leg.
Yes, exactly. And he's just I can only imagine the sounds he's making. He's got his
especially
four wings,
his legs can't reach the ground.
Yeah.
Like he has to use his upper body for all of the levering.
Yeah. He's got his wings coming off his head, his wings coming off his back, and his little shaka orange hair, and he's got his tongue sticking out, and he is just humping away at Lady Devimon.
I like that Lady Devimon's got stretch marks on her titties.
That's good. That's good stuff.
That's like a really nice touch that you just don't see a lot in drawn porn.
It's true. I like starch masks.
Yeah, it's otherwise pretty fucking simple, plain drawing. It's just two characters fucking.
Yeah.
One of them has no background or nothing. She's like cut off at the elbows and gonna have you take a look at this next one, babe.
Okay.
The next bit of pornography.
Pornography.
It is once again quite vanilla and normal. Let's be honest.
Yeah, this is some normie shit. Here we see...
A very smug Magna Andrew.
Very smug. He looks like the 90s animated series for Superman.
He's like somewhere between 90s, he's like Superman TAS and like Johnny Bravo combined.
Wearing
the Magna Angelmon gear.
And he's just plowing away at Angelwoman. Like she's kind of angled, like the angle doesn't work really. It's just like purely for the visual of the
right. It's one of those porn angles.
Yeah, where it's like that doesn't look very comfortable or pleasurable, but you're doing it
right.
So
your dick is like getting like torn way off to the left every time you pull out.
Yeah, it's goofy as hell. But yeah, pretty lovingly rendered, cute tits on old Angelwoman and. Yeah. His Pope hat is so stupid looking in this. I mean, it's stupid looking generally, but it's really dumb here.
Uh-huh. Because it makes him look like a conehead.
Like yeah, exactly. Johnny Bravo. He looks like fucking Beldar. He looks like he's about to remunerate with metallic Tinder discs. Careful not to sear the top of your neck hole with molten lactate extract of hoofed mammals there, Magna Angelmon. I know way too much about that movie. It's a great play.
You really
do. It's
very
if you haven't seen 1994 or 5 SNL based movie Coneheads, holds up. Still funny. Corley, you liked it, didn't you? You liked that movie.
I did. I quite enjoyed that. And Night at the Roxbury and Wayne's World.
Yeah. Yeah. We should watch more of those.
Probably.
Wedding Singer? Want to watch Wedding Singer?
What was the last part? Oh, champion!
Yeah, we now have to choose our digital champion.
Now I think we're gonna be in agreement this time. Because I'm gonna say Gomamon.
Oh yeah. I mean Goatmamon for sure. I so badly want to say Ogremon just because he's in it.
And this he's not!
Ogremon's in the
He's in it
in
for like
episode.
A second.
But this might be my last chance to give it to him. I might
he
not
comes
ever see
back
him again.
There's an Ogremon in Tamers. Don't worry.
But that's not my Ogremon.
In fact, this Ogremon might come back in 02, actually.
Okay. All right, I'll trust you. And for that reason.
Well, I'm not certain. So don't put too much stock in it.
I choose to trust you with a grain of salt.
Okay.
Who do I give it to then?
Damn.
Maybe Grudemon for being so big. No, okay.
He's got Assassin's Creed dagger on his wrist, and I'm just now realizing he could slice her off at the waist if he moves his arm wrong. That's spooky.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh, it's like a knife play thing where
it's
he's
like
got
an amethyst knife. It's like fucking sharp.
Yeah, it's like a knife play thing where he's got like his blade to her hip.
It's like, don't shake those hips too much.
Well, he'd say it like this. Don't shake those hips too much.
Hey there, sexy mama.
Okay, no, I got it. I give my digital champion to TK.
Hey!
Because he channeled the power of his crest effectively. I think he effectively utilized girl power when he
when he killed the Dark Masters, when he pushed them out of a helicopter in the mountains.
Like the paramilitary death squads that Margaret Thatcher funded. Yeah. It's good. It's good that we're back. I mean, no promises.
We have a lot of life happening right now with a capital L. So, like,
life comes at you fast.
We're doing our level best to keep up on this. Apologies, y'all.
Yeah. It's like a sometimes treat. I like the idea that you open your fucking podcast app one day and you're like, huh, a data transfer.
Oh,
I'm going to say digitransfer.
A digital monster. I have a Digimon now.
I have a fucking Digimon. I have a partner Digimon. Oh, it's Coralamon. It's Audreymon.
Anyone would be delighted to have us.
Yeah.
Especially two partner Digimon. That rules.
That would be cool.
You get a DNA Digivolve with yourself.
That'd be sick, actually. You know what else is sick? Your plugs. Those are sick.
Sorry, I'm like fucking schnasted blasted. I think having a quick bathroom break gave the weed long enough to get the rest of the way into my brain, and now I'm just like, hello. Hi, I'm Corla. My plug is gonna be for Post Ponies. It's another show retrospective podcast. This one for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. It's me, a couple of partners, and our good friend Ruby, honestly kind of the star of the show.
Yeah, she's your secret weapon for sure. I was telling her the other day.
Oh my god. It's insane. Yeah, go listen to that. We do great work. You can find us on any podcatcher or smallgayhorse.com.
Best.
We also have an email for this show if you feel like sending us a recipe or just telling us that we're cool. It's a datatransferpod@gmail.com. Audrey, what do you got?
I want to plug Radio Free Tote Bag. It is a show about relationships that I do with my co-host Donovan. Goofy Japes, funny stuff. And this week we had Merrick K on.
I was going to say, consistent cool guests.
Yeah, like if you know Merrick K, then that's pretty cool that we had her. Yeah, she's plugging her new book, Land Party, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Heartfelt advice, Goofy Japes, always a great time. And you can find me on X, the everything app at RFTB Audrey.
And Blue Sky.
Yeah. At Aud and the other stuff.
At
AUD.
I'm just at Corla.
Yeah. We got in early.
Yeah. Plus my name's not very popular, so.
That's true. Also, I just want to point out that the other day I took a dump so big it looked like a pair and a half of nunchucks. Get out there and digivolve your ass off.
Pusarigama.